Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today is my third day with a brand new series that I've started entitled, How to Receive God's Best. And I tell you, this is going to be a powerful, powerful teaching. I taught this recently in Houston, Texas at one of our Gospel Truth seminars and saw a tremendous results to it. I mean, it just increased people's faith. And the very first thing that I did, I'm doing this on my television programs also, is before I can actually teach you how to receive God's best, you've got to recognize that God's best doesn't just automatically come to pass in our life. We have to pursue it in order to receive it. You have to seek before you find. You have to ask. You have not because you ask not, James chapter 4, verse 2. If you don't pursue the things of God, they just don't come on you automatically. God doesn't force His blessings on your life. He doesn't just make things happen. It has to be through a cooperation with Him. And so the very first thing in talking about how to receive God's best is to get across to you that as long as you will settle for less than God's best, then that's what you'll have. The very first step is you've got to start believing and expecting more. And I've spent the first 2 days just trying to show people that we have been dumbed down by our association with the world. Most of us have been more influenced by the world than we are by God through His Word. And many of us are just expecting less than God's best. And because of it, we get it. You can't just pray and say, well, God, if you want your best to come to pass in my life, then I'll receive it. No, you've got to pursue it. You've got to set a goal. And you've got to actively pursue these things. Boy, that is a powerful, powerful truth. And I've already said a lot of things that I know have produced a lot of resistance and criticism. I'm not saying this because I'm hurt by it or I'm licking my wounds. I'm just trying to acknowledge to you that I realize what I'm saying is outside of the norm. Some people think, man, you're weird the way that you're believing for God's best and thinking that you could live in divine health and prosperity even during down times and you can rejoice in the Lord always. Don't you understand that you're supposed to be depressed and you're in denial if you don't just every once in a while get discouraged and depressed? I have people that fight me over these things. And the reason I'm acknowledging it is to say that I am not insensitive to you and the fact that I am aware that what I'm saying is outside of the norm. I think that there's some people that just dismiss me as being weird or wacko because it's so different than what everybody else is saying, even different Christians. I am acknowledging that it's different. I'm acknowledging that what I am saying here is weird by the world standards, even weird by most religious standards. But you know, the truth is, I think you're weird. I think that the standard I have based on the Word of God is the accurate standard. And so I'm just saying that I am not insensitive to the fact that this is so different than what everybody else is saying. But if you would look around, do you want the results that everybody else is getting? Most Christians would say no. And so you pray and you ask God to give you different results, but then you're going to embrace the same standards. You're going to have the same values as people that don't know God. You're going to expect that when you're over 40 that you just have to start falling apart like a $2 suitcase, that you can't walk in divine health. When the Scripture says in Deuteronomy chapter 34, and verse 7, that Moses was 120 years old when he died, and his eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. That's Moses, a man who didn't have as good a covenant as what we've got. And yet he walked in strength and in health, even eyesight perfect at 120 years old. Now again, I've said this every program. But I am not trying to condemn anybody who wears glasses. I'm not trying to condemn anybody who isn't strong at 80 years old or whatever it is. I'm not trying to condemn you, but I am trying to say that God has something better. You don't have to have poor eyesight. You don't have to be sick. You don't have to be weak. You don't have to have these problems. And it just amazes me that people fight for the right to be this way and say, no, this is the way you're supposed to be as you get old. You're supposed to fall apart. You do not have to do that. Amen. And people think, boy, you're weird. Again, I think you're weird because this is what God promises us. He says, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation, out of Psalms chapter 91. If you aren't satisfied at 80, just keep going until you get satisfied. God will satisfy you with long life and show you his salvation. Psalms chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, who brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does will prosper. But the ungodly are not so. In other words, there is a reward for serving God. You will be like a tree that's growing right beside a river, that you still have water, even in drought, and you still will produce fruit when other people are unproductive. Your leaf will not wither and fade because you have a water source. You can tap into that. You have reserves. You are rooted in something that people that don't know God don't have. Psalms chapter 1 teaches that an ungodly person does not prosper the same as a godly person does. And yet, sad to say, in our situation today, you could tell very little difference between the godly and the ungodly. Maybe a standard of morality, but as far as blessing, as far as their needs being supplied during a recession, when the ungodly are just operating in fear and they're panicking and they're selling off their assets for just a fraction of what it's worth. When it comes to a pandemic, I don't know how many of you remember talking about the swine flu, the H1N1 flu, and they said it was not a question of if it would happen. It was going to be a pandemic, something that affected the entire world. Thousands and thousands of people were going to die. I can understand unbelievers panicking because they don't believe and trust in God for healing. But sad to say, a lot of Christians panicked because, you know what? They didn't believe for God's best. They panicked. They were in fear. And you know what? It was not a pandemic. It did not happen. It was all a lie. It was all a ruse. And there are many Christians listening to me right now who will say, well, It was just wisdom to present the worst case scenario and get people so that they would be cautious and fearful in this area, and that helped limit the disease. You know what? It is not wisdom to sit there and cause panic and to state the worst case scenario. I think it might be okay to say that this is a possibility, but that's not what was said. It was said that this is the way it was, and it didn't come to pass. And sad to say, a lot of Christians operated in fear, and you couldn't tell any difference between the unbeliever that didn't know God and the believer who was born again. They panicked. They operated in fear. They took the same route of the people that didn't even know God. I'm saying that that is not the way it's supposed to be. Before you can receive God's best, you've got to recognize God has more for us than people that don't know God. We ought to have a joy and a peace that passes understanding. There ought to be a difference when somebody we know dies and a person goes to be with the Lord and a person dies, when people think that that's just the end of it and that there is nothing after that, that they'll never see this person again. A Christian ought to react differently than an unbeliever reacts. And yet many Christians react exactly the same way. Am I condemning you? Am I saying that you're in sin? No, I'm just telling you that God has something more. And until you can understand that there is more than just the people that don't know God, until you increase your expectation and start believing for God's best, you'll never get there. It doesn't come to pass automatically. You have to pursue it in order to receive it. Let me turn over to the book of Romans, and I'm going to take something here that I know that this is going to be hard on many of you. You will take offense at this when none offense is intended. You know, everything I'm about to say right here, I have done. Matter of fact, I am still in some of these situations that I'll be speaking against. And somebody says, well, then how could you talk against it? Because I am not settling. I am not satisfied where I am. I am looking for God's best. I haven't arrived, but I've left. And I know that some of the things I'm going to talk about, it's going to rub you the wrong way. There are going to be some of you thinking that, well, you can't say that. But again, that's because you are more influenced by the world than you are by the Word. I'm going to go to Scriptures. I'm going to show you what God says is His best. And especially those of you in the Western world, especially those of you listening in the United States, this is going to be very offensive to some of you because this is contrary to the American psyche, the way that we think. We have embraced debt in a way that the Word of God doesn't. And so for me to say that there's something better than living in debt is going to be very offensive to people. And I am not condemning any person who's in debt. I'm not saying that you've sinned. I'm not saying that God hates you. I'm not saying that you're evil. I'm just saying there's something better than being in debt. And you know what? There will be people that fight me and say, no, debt is good. This is the way you should be. And they will come against me for even bringing this up. But here's what the Word of God has to say. And I could share the whole chapter here, but in Romans chapter 13 and in verse 8, it says, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Now, some people just explain away the obvious meaning of this by saying, well, this isn't talking about money and stuff. This is talking about that you should love everybody and that you shouldn't ever be upset with people. Well, certainly there's an application for that. But if you take this in its context, Romans chapter 13 is talking about submitting to civil government, talking about the authority over you, that they are ministers of God for your good. And then it uses the example of paying taxes, rendering unto Caesar the things that belong to Caesar. And then it says, owe no man anything but to love one another. The whole context of this is not talking about just spiritual, emotional things. It's talking about in the natural realm, do not owe people money. And you know what? That is not the way that most Christians live their life. Most Christians think that owing people money, and again, there's two ways that I've heard people interpret this. Some people say, well, this just means stay current on all of your bills. In other words, this isn't speaking against debt, buying things on credit, putting things on a credit card and paying the minimum amount and just paying this thing out, buying houses on credit, cars on credit, etc. I've heard people say that it's not against going in debt. This is just saying make sure that you're able to make your payments. You know, I'm not 100% against that because, like I said, I have gone in debt, but I've never believed that this is God's best. Here's the point I'm trying to get across. Don't stumble over the point I'm trying to make by just the, you know, getting caught up in the detail of it. Here's the point I'm trying to make is that being debt-free is better than being in debt. And yet there's a lot of people that is not the way you think. Being debt-free isn't even a goal of most people. It's not looked at as being an advantageous thing. Most people don't think long term. They don't think about stuff. If you go out and buy a house, the typical person is going to pay at least 2 to 3 times the value of that house by the time you pay it out over 30 years with all of this interest. And yet people don't think about that. They don't think that a $250,000 house, you're going to wind up paying $700,000 for something that's worth $250,000. That's not how most people think. Most people think, what's the monthly payment? And if the monthly payment is $1,500 or $2,000, can I make this? When they go buy a car, They don't think about the fact that if you buy a $30,000 or $40,000 car, and if you pay it out over 5 years or 6 years, you are going to pay 2 to 3 times the actual price. Instead of it being $30,000, you're going to wind up paying $60,000 to $90,000 for something that's worth $30,000. But most people, see, don't look at it that way. They just look at the monthly payment. And they don't see anything wrong with all of this debt. The Bible is saying, owe no man anything. And again, I'm going to come back to this in more detail, so let me just refer to this quickly. But if you are one of those that says, I don't believe there's a thing wrong with being in debt up to your ears as long as you can make the payment. Well, if you turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 28, and it lists the blessings and then the curses if you don't follow the Word of God, in the first few verses, the first 14 verses, it lists the blessings that will come upon you. And it says, you will lend unto many nations and you shall not borrow. The Bible says it is more blessed to lend than it is to borrow. It didn't say you're evil. It didn't say you're of the devil. I'm not saying that. If you go out and say that I'm condemning any person who's ever borrowed money or gone in debt, then you are either just lying or you've totally missed my point. I have some debt. This ministry right now, I couldn't give you all of the exact details, but our assets are probably close to $20 million, and we have about $3 million worth of debt on this brand new property that we got on this building, and we are in the process of paying it off. I'm not condemned. I don't believe God's mad at me. But you know what? I don't believe that that's God's best, and I'm working to get it paid off just as quickly as I can. When I first had a home, Jamie and I rented for, I couldn't tell you for sure, but at least 10 to 15 years, we rented because we were in transition. We wanted to be able to move. If the Lord told us to go, we were gone. And so we rented, and we realized that if we really believed and trusted God, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. It's more blessed to be debt-free than it is to be in bondage. And so that's where we were shooting for. But eventually, every house we rented, we would fix it up, clean it up. The people would see the value increased, and they'd sell it out from under us. The last house that we rented a house from a military family that were gone for 6 years. They said they were going to be gone 6 years. They wanted to retire in this house. And so they guaranteed us 6 years. They didn't put it in writing, but they just told us. They said, you can stay in this house for 6 years. So that's the reason we took it, because we thought, praise God, we were finally settled and wouldn't have to move within 3 months. Within 3 months, they put that house up for sale. Within 6 months, it sold and we had to leave. And so even though I realized that the, you know, it says in Proverbs that the borrower is servant to the lender, and that word servant there is talking about a slave. Even though I didn't think this was God's best, I knew it also wasn't God's best for me to move every 3 months. And so we went ahead and built a house and got a VA loan, and I did that. I didn't think it was God's best. I wasn't really excited about it, but it was just like I didn't have a lot of options. We did it, and a builder, helped me to build my house for half of what it cost. I built my house for $60,000. It's probably $120,000 in 1988. And so it was a good deal. It was the best deal I had. I did it. But did you know Jamie and I started making double payments, double interest payments? We would pay our normal payment that had a little bit of interest in it. You know, like on a loan, 90% of the payment up front is all interest, and most of the principal is at the end of the loan. And so we would pay our normal payment, and then we would pay a second payment in the month of just nothing but principal. And because of this, we got that house paid off in half the time instead of a 30-year loan. I think it actually took us about 17 years, somewhere around there, and we got our house paid for, and now it's debt-free. And we would buy cars that were less than the car that we really wanted, but we would buy what we could afford. We would take the money that we would have been spending on car payments, and we put it in the bank and just saved it up. And then when it came time to buy a car, we have bought our last three cars cash because we did this. And even though I have participated in borrowing money, I don't think God hated me for it. I don't think I was a sinner because I did it. But you know what? It's not God's best. And I got out of that system just as quickly as I could. Our ministry, we are getting out of it. We are in the process of having to build a $30 million facility for our Bible college to accommodate, and I'm doing everything I can to make that debt free. I am believing for it to be debt free. And this is what I'm saying through these scriptures. I am not saying God is mad at you if you owe money, if you have gone in debt, but I am saying being debt free is better than owing people money. And you would be shocked how many people will be upset with me because I even said that. Because you know what? They aren't shooting for God's best. I'm not condemning them if they're in debt, but they would condemn me for sitting here and even saying that God has something better than you paying for your valuables two and three times what they're worth. The average mindset of an American is if you were to win the lottery or get a raise that just, you know, doubled or tripled your money. Most people, instead of getting things paid off, being satisfied where they are, saving up, and then if you want to increase or something going and paying cash, the average person wouldn't have one reservation at all about going into even more debt. And what they would do, if they had a $1,000 a month increase, they would increase their debt payments $1,000 a month. They'd go get a bigger house, bigger cars, more toys, and they would live right up to that limit. And then if there's any little hiccup in the economy and all of a sudden their finances go down, they're just, why aren't things working? It's because that's not smart. I am not mad at you. God's not mad at you. I'm not condemning you. God's not condemning you. But I am trying to say that there is a better way to live. And this verse says, Romans 13:8, owe no man anything but to love one another. And this is not just talking about make sure you get your bills paid. You put it together with Deuteronomy chapter 28. It says it is a curse to borrow and it is a blessing to not have to borrow. It is God's will for you to live a life absolutely debt free. Now, if you aren't there yet, don't feel condemned. I'm not there yet. I haven't arrived, but I've left. I'm telling you, this is what I'm shooting for. And I've seen a lot of success. My personal life, all of my assets, everything I own is debt-free. In the ministry, we aren't there yet, but we are about 1/7 debt-to-equity ratio. And we are getting out of that just as quickly as we can. As we build these new buildings, it's going to be, I believe, where we're completely debt-free. I'm moving in that direction as quickly as I can. I am not condemned. God loves me. God loves you. But you know what? I am not complacent. I am not embracing something less than God's best. I'm trying to say this with as much compassion as I can to let you know I'm not trying to hurt anybody, but I'm trying to say that most people aren't even desiring God's best. They are completely satisfied. They are content with the world system that makes you pay two and three times what anything is worth, and most people are content with that. If you are settling for that, then that's exactly what you'll have. But there is something better. I'm out of time today, but I will deal with this in more detail next week, so I encourage you to listen in and also listen to our announcer as he gives you information about how you can receive this new teaching on how to receive God's best.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, How to Receive God's Best, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD. Or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify CD, DVD, or DVD as seen on TV when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The first audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD titled Don't Settle for Less, free of charge. We'd also like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
CBC points you to God, a relationship with God. That's what I came here for, and that's what CBC does.
Charis Bible College has been making disciples and changing lives since 1994, and we've outgrown our Colorado Springs facility. Phase one of our new Woodland Park CBC campus has been fully funded and completed, and phase two of the project is gearing up right now. Andrew and Jamie would like to give you the opportunity to join hands with them by becoming a foundation builder and contributing financially toward building the lives of CBC world changers. You can get more information by calling, writing, or logging on to awmi.net/partnership. Invest yourself in Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College today. Change your life. Change the world.
I'd like to invite you to attend our first ever worship conference that we're holding here at Charis Bible College. Daniel Amstutz is our new director of our third year of school and worship, and he's put together a Better Way to Worship conference. It's going to be on June the 15th through the 17th. That's a Wednesday through Friday evening. You can come and experience live praise and worship. You're also going to hear instruction about it. I'll be teaching some about the importance of praise and worship. There is a registration. It's free. You can go to our website, awmi.net, or you could go directly to charisbiblecollege.org and click on our What's Happening, and you can sign up. There is all the information, registration, just a lot of great things. It's going to be a wonderful time, June the 15th through the 17th, right here in Colorado Springs.
And there was this man on the phone saying, your husband's had a wreck.
I was in a head-on accident. I was told later it took him two jaws of life to get me free from my truck cab.
His ribs were busted, his sternum was busted. One hip was crushed and the femur was broken real close.
And the nurse had told my wife later, says people younger would die.
It was like Satan did his absolute best to kill my husband.
I chose to live.
Log on to awmi.net. Look to the left. Click on Healing Testimonies. And take a healing journey with Ken and Virginia Wood. Discover what's happening at Andrew Womack Ministries.